Good evening. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. The word quench means to put out, suppress, extinguish, or stifle. It is often used for putting out a fire. And so Paul here is warning the Christians not to put out the Spirit's influence in their lives. Now, this doesn't mean the Holy Spirit itself is weak. What it does mean is that man can resist, reject, ignore, and suppress the Spirit's instruction. We know God doesn't force obedience. He doesn't force us to come and to follow and obey Him. He has given us what is called free will, to do what we please. But what God does, He does teach, He does convict, He does command, He warns and encourages through His revealed word. And so we must choose whether to listen or to reject. And so we quench the spirit when we reject the word He revealed. The Holy Spirit revealed the Word of God through inspired men. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For no prophecy was ever made by the will of man, but men, being moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." And it's been like that for centuries. Go back to the prophets of old, before the apostles. The prophets were delivered the message of God to them, and they would go forth and speak it, make known what God's command was. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, also, receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So Paul here in Ephesians calls the Word of God the sword of the Spirit. And so when man rejects, he's not rejecting the preacher, he's not rejecting the Christian, he is rejecting the Spirit who revealed that Word. You know, when we look at the Bible, it's not merely the thoughts of men. It's the message, inspired word of God. Every word spoken in this book are the words of God. It is not man's interpretation. As Peter would also put it, this is not by our own interpretation. Once again, very clear that they were given the words to speak. And so the Spirit today speaks through Scripture. In John chapter 16, verse 13, But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak from Himself, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now, this text, of course, is not for us. Who's He speaking of? The apostles. The ones who would become His apostles. Jesus promised them that the Spirit would guide them into all the truth. Of course, they didn't have what we have today, the New Testament, in the Old, and in a written book, one book like this. And so the words they spoke were given to them. And so the truth has now been delivered to us today. The complete, the perfect, as Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 13, is here. In Jude chapter 3, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, exhorting that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints." And so we see that statement there. The faith was once for all handed down to the saints. That very faith is what we have today. The words, the commands of God that have been handed down to them. If we know what the Spirit says, if we want to know what the Spirit says, then we must go to the Scriptures. Once again, that's what we know about the faith, is what's found in Scriptures. So we quench the Spirit when we dismiss Scripture. People quench the Spirit when they say, "I know what the Bible says, but..." That is just your interpretation. I've heard that a lot. Times have changed. I've heard that one a lot. God knows my heart. That one's been said too many times. I do not think that applies today. And these are what a lot of the people in the world say. They, you know, I've had people tell me, well, you interpret the Bible differently than I do, and that's okay. No, it's not. What Scripture says goes. If the Spirit revealed the Word, we must treat Scripture with reverence. Yet so many do not, and even in the church, we have many who do not. And so we quench the Spirit when we refuse correction. Stephen told the Jews in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, "You men, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, are always resisting the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." How were they resisting the Holy Spirit? Well, they rejected the message of God spoken through the prophets and rejected Christ. Stephen here was correcting them, rebuking them, telling them, you're just like your fathers. What did their fathers do? They rejected God's commands. And what did that cost them? Their lives. It cost them their promised land. It cost them everything. And so this shows that a person can resist the Spirit. And we know correction is part of God's love. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And then Proverbs 12, 1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is senseless. We know correction is not pleasant and never will be, but it's necessary. Why is it necessary? Because it helps the one being corrected to grow up and to be responsible, to mature, to understand right from wrong. A person who cannot be corrected cannot grow and will not grow. And we see that in our society today. We know that pride quenches the Spirit, and pride, it can be found in those who can't be corrected. You can see a lot of pride, ego. This is what pride says. I do not need to change. I already know enough. No one can tell me what to do. I have always done it this way. These attitudes put out spiritual growth. We must, and this is a famous saying that everybody says, swallow your pride and ask for help. Swallow your pride and accept the correction. Don't let your pride, which is a sin, cost you everything. Correction is needed if we are to grow. The Word of God corrects us every day when we sin. And so we quench the Spirit when we continue in sin. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." To walk by the Spirit is to live according to the Spirit's revealed instruction. If we are walking by the Spirit, we are doing according to what the Spirit has revealed. And how do we know what it has revealed? Through the Word of God. And so to live after the flesh is to be controlled by sinful desires. So when we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We won't give in to it. Because we're going to fill our minds and hearts with the Word of God, the very Word that was revealed through the Spirit. And we know that sin suppresses spiritual influence. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." What grieves the Spirit? Sin does. Sin grieves the Spirit because sin goes against the very holiness God calls us to pursue. Sin goes against the very holiness God calls us to pursue. It blinds us. It's what happened to a lot of people who rejected the truth. Their sin blinded them. And they chose to live for the world. They chose to live and to serve the flesh. In Galatians 5, we see the list of the deeds of the flesh: immorality, impurity, idolatry, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, drunkenness, and things like these. But as we see in that same chapter, we see the fruit of the Spirit. We know the fruit of the Spirit must be cultivated. In verses 22 and 23 in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. These qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, do not grow in a body that's full of sin. It doesn't. Sin keeps you from growing. A worldly heart chokes spiritual fruit. We must make sure that our minds and hearts are pure. Our minds and hearts are focused on God, putting God at the center of our minds and hearts. And there is where you will have the growth. You will find yourself growing more mature and growing closer to God daily. But as soon as we allow sin to rear its ugly head and to grow and branch out through our minds and hearts, then we're going to see the fruits of the Spirit be choked out. And so we quench the Spirit when we neglect worship and service. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. A Christian should have spiritual fire. But what happens over time, that fire gets extinguished. It slows and it dwindles away to nothing. That fire is strengthened through worship, prayer, study, fellowship, and service. We do well in those five areas. Guess what? You're going to find that fire burning bright. As Jeremiah said in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, it was burning in him, the word was burning in him so much, he had to go, he had to speak it. And that's how we should be, not wanting to resist, not wanting to let that fire dwindle out, but let it burn bright before everyone. Going forth and serving, taking worship seriously, taking fellowship seriously, taking studying seriously. So the question is, have we allowed the fire to go out? Because if that fire has gone out, you're going to choose sin. You're going to choose the world. You're going to quench the Spirit. Neglect as well cools the heart. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to understand people don't fall away like that. It takes time. It's slow. Over time, you start seeing them fall away and stay away from brethren, fellowship, studying. It happens slowly over time, and then before you know it, they're gone entirely. They stop praying, studying, they miss worship, avoid brethren, and stop serving. And we need to realize as Christians, worship is not optional. Fellowship is not optional, and encouragement is not optional. Spiritual laziness quenches zeal. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. When we look at spiritual laziness, it happens to everyone. We're not giving the time with God that we need to. It's in His Word, that's in prayer, that's in worship, that's in evangelizing, that's in living out what His Word commands of us. We are always to rejoice, pray without ceasing, give thanks, do not quench the Spirit, examine everything carefully, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. With all of these commands,
They show an active Christian life. They show a Christian who is on fire, who's full of zeal, and who's going out and being a true disciple. And so we quench the spirit when we become passive, lazy, and indifferent. And it's something that you may need to work on. I may need to work on. We need to make sure that we are fully obeying, that we are doing everything in our power to stay faithful, to keep that fire burning, because once again, once it goes out, it's hard to get it back. It's hard to build it up. And the longer we spend time in the world with a worldly mind, a worldly heart, the harder it becomes to want to come back, sadly. And so we keep from quenching the spirit by submitting to God's will. And James says, James chapter 1, verse 22, but become doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And so the Spirit's instruction must be received and obeyed. Once again, as James says here, be doers of the word, not hearers. Then he goes further down saying it's like a man who looks at himself in a mirror, and then once he goes away, he forgets what he looks like. What happens with hearers? It goes in one ear and out the other. It's what always happens. But when we submit to God's will, it's going in and it's being seared to our minds and hearts by doing what God has commanded us. And we are to receive the word with all humility. In the previous verse of James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, therefore, laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and gentleness, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And so we see gentleness, or meek, as some translations say, humility. And we see humility keeps the heart soft. Think about a sponge. The sponge is soft. It absorbs what it touches. And that's how our heart should be with the truth. It should be soft. And we should receive correction. We should receive this biblical knowledge and absorb it, become it. Once again, without humility, what does pride do? It hardens. And there's no absorbing anything. A Christian says, Lord, teach me, correct me, and change me. Those are three words, those are three statements that we should always pray for. Lord, teach me, correct me, and change me. I think that would make a very beautiful prayer from a sincere heart. We should want God to teach us. We should want God to correct us, and we should want him to change us. But we must be willing to allow him to come in and do that. Because if we don't, then can we truly say we're true disciples? We're true Christians. And so when a person is not humble, then they can't be corrected. And so let the word dwell richly within you. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. We see the spirit-filled life and the word-filled life are not enemies. Because in Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Both these texts speak of being filled with the Spirit, and the other speaks of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And what's the result from both texts? The result is this, is worship, thanksgiving, and submission to God. When you look at both of those texts, we see the result. Admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. And so we must listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. In Revelations chapters 2 and 3, what you have is the letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Sadly, only two out of seven would be faithful. The other five were in sin, were in disobedience.
But we hear, we see, Jesus repeatedly says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Guess what the Spirit tells the churches to do? Repent, endure, overcome, and remain faithful. Once again, the Spirit says to repent, endure, overcome, and remain faithful. So the question is, do we have ears to hear? And of course, yes, physically we do. But do we use them to hear what the Word of God says to us? Do we hear? Do we see it? Do we consume it? Do we absorb it? Because once again, being faithful is not just being at worship every Sunday, every Wednesday. It's not just staying away from sin. There's so much more to remaining faithful. We must listen and see what the Word of God says and do it, and not just being hearers. And so, we must listen and obey what we have been told. And so this evening, if you're not a Christian, then you are lost. Understand that. But here's the good news. Christ has come and died and rose again, providing for you a way to be saved. And so this evening, with the message you have heard, I pray and hope that you open your ears and you open your eyes, and that you allow these words to be absorbed and for you to come forward and to give your life to Christ. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word. You must believe that word. Mark 16:16. Then you must repent of your sins, which means change. Change of mind, change of life. Then you must confess your faith. Peter made the great confession. All the disciples made the great confession that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Romans 10:10. But then we must be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. When you are baptized, you are buried with Christ in the likeness of his burial. You're put to death. You're putting to death your old self. And the blood of Christ comes and washes over you, making you white as snow. And when you raise out of that water in the likeness of his resurrection, you are now walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. The journey is beginning. The hard part begins, and that is to remain faithful. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let that zeal go out. Be steadfast and grow every day with the Lord, giving him everything daily. Or if you were a Christian and you have fallen back into your old ways, there's still time this evening to renew that fire, to renew that zeal. Come forward and allow the church to assist you, to pray for you, and for you to repent, be restored. Allow us, the church, this evening to help you find your way back or to find what you're missing. So if you're here this evening and you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.